You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us. My guest this week is a co-founder of Quality Literary Books. This is a new publishing firm that is reprinting forgotten books by American women authors to share with a new generation of lovers. And as a book lover myself, I've got to tell you, I think it's a novel idea. I think it's a great way of reintroducing authors that are no longer with us, great works, literary works, and exposing it to a new generation. And hopefully this will be a new novel way of once again bringing reading to the forefront. Strong believer in that. I'm sure many of you are as well. So with that said, my guest is Bremond McDougall, the co-founder of Quite Literally Books. Bremond, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
This must have gone through your mind as well, that, hey, you know, an author publishes a great piece of work maybe 50 years ago, 75 years ago, 100 years ago, and now the book is no longer in print. The author is long gone. How will younger people, how will a whole new generation of readers ever find out about this? So was that something that was running through your mind?
Well, yes. I mean, my co-founder and I, Lisa Cooper, we're readers and we love to read all kinds of everything. But we're particularly spotlighting female authors, female American authors, because, we still read books that were written 50, 75, 100 years ago by a lot of male authors. There's not so many female authors. And so the thinking is that there's a lot of good writing out there that that we don't know about. And so wouldn't it be fun to shine a spotlight on some of the women who have been completely forgotten? And that's not to say there aren't a lot of men that have been completely forgotten too. It's just that more men have been remembered, I think, than women who wrote a long time ago.
And I tend to agree with that. I think, like anything else, much of this country for the longest time was male dominated. And unfortunately many, well-versed female authors, were either never really exposed to the public, never got their due. Now they're long gone, so they're not to come back and rewrite something else. So it is a novel way. I guess the next question would be, and I'll let you explain to the audience. So when an author has published something, obviously the publishing house, or the publisher, buys the rights to the book. They own it. They publish it. They market it. Now the author is long gone. Was there a lot of legal work involved in being able to acquire the rights, or was that not even part of it?
Well, it is part of it. Two of the books that we're publishing, The Homemaker and Plum Bun, are in the public domain. So they were published before 1929, I think, is the cutoff right now. So they're a free game for anybody. The Pink House, on the other hand, so The Homemaker by Dorothy Cantwell Fisher and Plum Bun by Jesse Redman Fawcett. The Pink House by Amelia Gardner White was a little different because it is still in copyright. And we did a lot of research and a lot of looking, and Amelia Gardner White published 25 novels, lots of stories. She had a pretty prolific career. But she is not known at all today and not in print, and was very hard to find anything about. We ended up speaking with her grandson, who said he didn't know really, what the right situation was, but he gave us permission to print. So that's what we've gone on. So we'll see. but the ones in the public domain are a whole lot easier.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. Now, you've been a book lover most of your life. I mean, through college, you know, as I was reading, getting more information, you know, on your career, you, like myself, I mean, I've accumulated, you know, more books. I can probably start my own small library. But you know what? If you're a book lover, even though you finish the book, you don't want to put it away. But it seems like you were drawn to female authors right from the start, right?
Yes. I mean, I think the authors that I read when I was a kid were definitely, I mean, Louisa May Alcott, Ellen Montgomery, who wrote the Anne of Green Gables books, you know, those sorts of books were that was my bread and butter. Betty Smith, Three Girls in Brooklyn. Those were sort of my favorite, thing. I think, you know, women authors have tended in the past to write, about families and feelings and interior lives and things like that. And I think, I don't know if all women are drawn to that. That's a pretty big statement, but I definitely am. And so I find that really, appealing. I like to read about feelings and families and interior lives. And so, it's right up my street. Even these books that are 100 years old that feel pretty current. They feel pretty relevant. The language may be a little different. They're much less explicit probably than some stuff that's written today, but the themes are still relevant today, which is really, part of what makes it so fun and interesting. And you were also saying about how you have enough books to have a library. Lisa and I both really love not just reading, but we love books. We love, you know, physical books. And so that was another thing that we really wanted to do, was to find really great, stories and put them into really beautiful editions. So pretty paper, really nice, thick, paper that feels really good, and, cover art that's really beautiful. And so that these books you will want to keep, and you'll want to put them on your shelf, and you'll want to, yeah, you'll just want to have them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great point. In fact, I want to, you know, expand on that. I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners, our wonderful WICN listeners, that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye, this week's edition of The Public Eye, and we're talking this week with co-founder of Quite Literally Brooks, Books, Ramon McDougall, I'm so sorry. Unique idea, bringing back to the forefront famous authors who maybe never achieved fame in their lifetime, no longer with us, the books perhaps out of print for many years, now bringing it back to the forefront. And Ramon, you brought up a good point. Again, it's one of the things that appeals to me when I buy a book, when I want to read a book, that cover. You know, sometimes the illustration, sometimes what's just on the back cover of the book, you know, makes a big difference as to whether or not I'm going to be that book's even going to be appealing. So, as you said, I'm just thinking, how do people just go online today, read snippets, and say, "Oh yeah, I got the liner notes and basically got a paragraph here or there, and I'm totally fulfilled." I don't believe that, and I assume you don't either.
Yeah, and I have a hard time reading online. Anyway, I like to have the book in my hand. I do think you can judge a book by its cover a lot of times. I tend to be more, I'll see a book cover that I don't like and think, probably not going to pick that up. And so we've worked really hard to make these books look like something, that you might want to pick up. Take a look at that. See what it, see what it is. Because the covers are eye-catching. Yeah, I prefer to be able to see and feel what I'm getting into. And also to be able to take a bookmark in, a physical bookmark, dog ear the page, take notes, write in the margins. And I love to go back in books that I read years ago and see what I wrote, see what I underlined and think, wow, I wonder what I was thinking when I underlined that, or I wonder what was going through my head when I thought that was such an important passage. So yeah, our covers are designed by an artist, Anthony Russo, who does illustrations for The New Yorker and The New York Times. And he's done some beautiful, he did beautiful portraits of the female protagonists of all three of these books. And we think they're you pick it right up.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, you're not releasing like 100 titles all at once. You chose to do just so many at a time. Why is that?
We're doing three at a time. I mean, partly because we are absolute novices at this. And so we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants a little bit. And three seemed like a reasonable, doable number. So we're going to try to do three books twice a year. So we'll have these three that are coming out April 7th. And then we'll have three more that will be coming out in November. So hopefully in time for Christmas shopping. And we're working on those right now.
How about the marketing? Did you have to do a lot of, the ideas are one thing. Then you have to make sure that it's viable, that there may be a market out there. What did you go through in terms of determining whether there was a market?
Not much, frankly. Lisa and I sort of had we'd been talking about books and loving books and thinking maybe we'd have a bookstore someday, but that really seems like pie in the sky and not really a feasible thing. I think all book lovers want to have a bookstore someday. But we started kicking around this idea of publishing books and we thought, why not? We feel like there's room out there for other books and other voices. And we're sort of both at points in our lives when we sort of want to try something new and sort of take a leap. So we sort of thought if both of us, we have overlapping lives. We don't have exactly the same pace. We have, a nice circle in the middle of things that we both like. And we feel like if both of us like something, probably other people will too. Talking to people that we know and even people that we don't know, people get really excited about this idea and they get really, they're really interested. So, and we're doing marketing, like talking to people like you, that sort of stuff. And we're hoping to get into some bookstores and maybe do events there, things like that. But in terms of market research, we've not done much more than anecdotal research.
Yeah, but I think at the same token, sometimes you just have a gut feeling about things, and I think intuition plays a big role in all of this. You've been a lover of books all your life. You and I are certainly not alone on this planet. I still believe that the vast majority of people love to read books. And the way you're rolling it out, like I said, it's not 100 titles all at once.
Yeah.
You're doing it sporadically, get a sense of, okay, did those three do well? Was there enough appeal? So that certainly will make a big difference. When formally will this all start to take off?
We're taking pre-orders now on our website. And through our distributor, Asterism. The books will be available on April 7th. But it's nerve-wracking. It's a little like, sending a child out into the world, sending your child to kindergarten and hoping that they, make friends and don't bite the other children. Because we've been working on this for 3 years. To finally send these books out into the world is so exciting, because we love them. But it's also, it's nerve-wracking. It's anxiety-provoking because we do love them so much.
Yeah, and I do. I truly do believe you're going to be successful with this, because, like I said, I still want to believe that people want to hold that book in their hand. They want to have it on their on top of their desk. They want to have it by their side. So when they get a free moment, I know I do. I keep it on top of my desk. I may not touch it for a couple of days, but it's readily available, and I always keep a bookmarker in there as well, so I know where I left off.
We see the bookstores are. Bookstores are full of people, and we see people on the subway and the coffee shop. People are reading books. You know, not as many as are looking on their phones, but people do still, you know, read a book. And it's a point of conversation. It's kind of interesting if you're on the train with somebody and you're reading a book and they're reading a book. It's a great way to start a conversation. What are you reading? You know, show me. You can't really say that to somebody who's, you know, staring at their phone, even if they are reading a book on their phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't spark connection.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think a lot of people are looking for right now. And so we're hoping that, you know, we can contribute to that.
Well, that's a great, I love that that train of thought, because even when you watch a movie today, I mean, even the actors in the movie spend an awful lot of time on the cell phones and there's so little dialogue. I'm thinking, okay, if I've got a brand new book in my hand, especially with an attractive cover, it's bound to get somebody's attention. And what a great way of starting a conversation. I mean, if you're both just sitting there staring into space, I think sometimes it feels awkward. But what are you reading there? And before you know it, the conversation starts and maybe even wins over a reader, right?
Right. Exactly. I love to do that. I love Lisa and I both. It's so much fun to meet, you know, a kindred spirit who's out there, you know, reading something really great or even something they don't like. Then you know that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's a point of connection.
Right.
It's
exactly.
It's a point of talking to people, which I think a lot of people are hungry for and we need more of. We need more talking to each other and about the stuff that we agree on and the stuff we don't agree on. And there's some things in our books, that are conversation provoking. If you're reading one of our books, there are things that you might want to talk about. And we're hoping that does happen. You know, today, some of that conversation will obviously be online because that's where, you know, people from all over the country can get together and talk to each other. So there is that aspect of it as well, just because that sort of, you know, has to be. But yeah, we hope that the books that we've chosen will be things that people want to talk about with each other.
Well, I certainly
and with
us. Yeah. I as I said before, I think it's a great idea, which leads me to the next question. Mm-hmm. How novel an idea is this unique, or are there others out there doing a similar thing? I mean, have you found a lonely niche?
There are others out there doing this. There are a couple of publishers in the U.S. small publishers. I mean, there. I don't know if you're aware, but there are hundreds of small publishers in the United States that are doing little niche-y things.
Yep.
We definitely know of two or three that are publishing female authors. They're not looking exactly for the same things that we are. There's one that's publishing female noir books. So that's not really us. There are ones that are, there's one that I can't remember the name of it that's publishing, I think they call it weird female fiction, you know, something like that. And so there are people that are doing it. And then they're, you know, kind of big guys like McNally Editions that are doing male and female authors, but old, you know, older out of print books. So it's not, you know, it's not a lightning bolt. Oh gosh, let's do this. Nobody else is doing it. But they're, we think we may be filling a little, a different niche, a different, it's female authors, and we're not, you know, shying away from, we're not shying away from things that might have been called chick lit in the past, which is pejorative. but you know, things that are about home and family and the issues that women face and the issues that families face, which is a little bit different from the ones that we know about, from the people that are doing this that we know about.
You've mentioned that a number of times, and I think it's I think it's right on, and that is touching or tugging, as they say, on the heartstrings, the emotional cord within all of us. And many times an author will indeed be writing from the heart. I'm not saying it it's always a personal experience. But if people can, you know, if people can make a connection, if there's some way of making, you know, seeing themselves in a particular character within the book, or the storyline is similar to something that happened in their life. So I see this as a, I see this as a win-win, one, bringing back books that you can hold in your hand, but secondly, rejuvenating, you know, great works of literature that would have otherwise, you know, fell by the wayside, or have been dormant for very, very, very long. Now, whether that means that the, you know, the world will, you know, come back to a day when, you know, the only things they read were books, probably not in our lifetime, you know. But I think, you know, kudos to you guys for putting the effort out there. We've got a few moments left. So the first books will be available in April, right?
Correct. April 7th.
Oh, go. So right.
But you can pre-order now.
Great. Okay. Why don't you give the give our listeners, how can they order right through your website?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So quiteliterallybooks.com. We have a distributor, Asterism, who distributes to independent bookstores. And so if you're an independent bookseller, call up Asterism and they'll send you some. Yeah. But we can sell to you right through our website, and we're hoping that people will buy the set. Plum Bun by Jesse Redmond Fawcett, The Homemaker by Dorothy Canfield Fisher, and The Pink House by Neelie Gardner White. And I do want to say that Plum Bun and The Homemaker are out in the world. There, you can find copies of those. We didn't really, we discovered them for ourselves, but they are out there. Not necessarily in print, but they're available. You can find them on eBay or, something like that. But they're not our edition. And our edition is a really nice one. So we're hoping that people will be attracted to that'll be appealing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. You're putting a new face on that, and that's really what it's all about. I mean, and you know, any business today, whether it's technology or manufacturing, it's always about rejuvenating, giving it a new life, giving it a new look, and moving it forward. And that's and the other thing and you mentioned upon it, is which I love, is the idea that this will also be in independent bookstores. I mean, those are small, many times sole, one owner operations, family operated, maybe been in the family for years. Love to see the support for the small businesses that so often today don't exist anymore. So that's another really great point. But with that said, the business is Quite Literally Books. Bramon McDougall has been my guest this week. And in April, when come April, look her up, find the books.
Please.
Yeah. We'll absolutely, please.
We'll send them out with a note. We'll send them out with a book. Thank you.
It's just a great, great way of becoming reacquainted with literature that, as I said earlier, would probably have been long forgotten. And this is a great way of reacquainting yourself and family members as well. So with that said, we'll now leave it up to the listeners, Bramon, and hope that they'll do just that. I want to thank Bramon again for being my guest this week. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much.